Lord, you are the living one. You are the one who was dead, and now you are alive again forevermore. And we thank you that you are the one, Lord, who will one day come, and every eye will see you. And every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we thank you that our faith is rooted in the historical Jesus Christ, who came to earth, and as Paul said, of first importance, I want you all to know that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the Scriptures. Lord, as foretold, you came. As foretold, you died. And as foretold, you rose from the dead. And as foretold, one day we will see you again face to face. Your word says that if it were not so, as you said to your disciples, I would have told you, I am going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be there also. And your word says, therefore, encourage one another with these words, that one day we will forever be with the Lord. We'll be caught up in the clouds with him. And thus we will forever be with the Lord. So we thank you for this blessed time that we have here on earth, this temporary stay. Lord, this temporary privilege of life in this form, in this place, this temporary privilege of being able to just trust you day by day, to live by faith day by day. We ask that you'd open up our hearts this morning as we look to you by faith so that we might receive what your Spirit wants us to understand. For your word says the Spirit was given so that we might understand what God has freely given us. And so we ask that you'd open our eyes in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I may be a Thanksgiving person, but my wife is a Christmas person. Oh, she loves Christmas. In fact, our anniversary is December 1st. And we chose that day so that we could have the full December to celebrate Christmas. Although my wife, really, she starts celebrating Christmas on December 26th. Did you get that? The next Christmas. She starts thinking about it. She starts preparing for it. And by the time January 5th gets here, she's already in waiting for the next 12 months for Christmas to show up again. So welcome to the Christmas season officially, right after Thanksgiving. How many of you went to the Black Friday, as it's called? My wife calls it the Black Friday. I ain't going down to the Black Friday. I said, I did. I went. Bobby sent me a text saying, hey, you got your shopping done, Pastor? And I said, yes. He said, okay. I said, this is how it goes. Alexa. Okay, our message for today, we're going to finish our series up, this wonderful series on walking with Christ. I don't know how you end that series. I can't detach. I can't pull out. I can't say goodbye to this subject because this is what we're here to do. We're here to walk with Christ. We're here to experience our Creator. We're here to reflect Him through our own lives. We're here to receive the glory of God and the grace of God and the love of God and the joy of God and the peace of God. We're here to receive all things God and then to be channels of blessing. We're to be dispensers of that grace. In the book of Peter, it says, as each one of you has received a special gift, use it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, as good outlets, is another way of thinking of it, as outlets of his grace. And so it all starts with him. It all starts with our relationship with him. It all flows from our relationship with him. If we're having a difficult time being spiritual, the thing to do is to not check your spirituality. The thing to check is, how are things going with me and the Lord? That's where we check. Because when that's going good, this is going good. When this is all messed up, the thing to do is not tinker around trying to fix all of this, but to go to the source from which all of this flows. And so when we talk about walking with Christ, we're talking about the it of life. We're talking about the nucleus. We're talking about the catalyst for all things good. And so this morning's message is titled, Experiencing More. And the more is in all caps, or you can put it in quotes. Experiencing more in your walk with Christ. Experiencing more in your walk with Christ. And our text is Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to look at verses 7 through 11. Matthew chapter 7. And we're looking at verses 7 through 11. Experiencing more in your walk with Christ. Matthew 7, and I'm going to be reading verses 7 through 11. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek. And you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Let's stop. The main idea this morning, if you're taking notes, and I do have a main idea this Sunday, and I do have some points. So even though I took a little break from that a couple weeks ago, I'm back at my old tricks. The main idea this morning is this. Seek more in Christ. Seek more in Christ. Because there is always more of Christ. Seek more in Christ. Because there is always more of Christ. You've heard me say this before. I'm going to say it again. I'm even going to say it again in this morning's message. No matter where you are in your walk with Jesus Christ, you may be in a bountiful place. You may know the Bible backwards and forward. You may spend hours in prayer. You may spend hours in fellowship. You may spend your weekdays in ministry. You may spend quiet time, hours alone with the Lord. And you may be rejoicing to the hilt. On the other hand, you may be on the completely other end of that continuum where nothing seems to be happening in your walk with the Lord. Or you may be feeling like you're going backwards. Or you may feel like you're crying out to the Lord and the Lord is not answering. Or I want more, God, but I don't know how to get there. I hear pastor talking about this week after week after week, and I'm saying, okay, bring it on, God. Where is it? No matter where you are, my encouragement to you this morning, if you hear nothing else that Pastor Dan says, seek more in Christ. Because there is more of Christ, always more of Him. And He invites us to ask, seek, knock. And the wording, the phrasing of this is keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Not ask once, not seek once, not knock once. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. And God is not playing games. He wants us to have the more of Christ. He died so that we could have that in Him. And that's why He says, I'm not treating you like a father who would give his son a stone if he asked for bread, or a serpent if he asked for fish. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? And if you're asking, Lord, more of You in my life, we will see there are other passages in Scripture which make it very, very clear that the Lord wants this for us. He wants this for us. So don't settle for where you are. Don't settle for where you are. Don't be frustrated because you're not further. Don't be frustrated because you're not further. But don't settle for where you are. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep looking for the more in Christ, because it's that more that makes life exciting. It's that more that is the heart and soul of what Jesus called the abundant life. The abundant life is not more stuff that we get. That's not the abundant life. So, Lord, give me that abundant life. I'd like to have this thing, and I'd like to have that thing, and I'd like to have this fixed, and I'd like to have that fixed, and I'd like to have this taken away. And we're thinking externally. That's good. But what we've talked about all month long is that the heart and soul of the abundant life is inside of us. The kingdom of God is within us. From your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So Jesus is speaking about living from the inside out, living from a large place on the inside, an overflowing place that affects every other area in our lives. Seek the more in Christ, because there is always more of Christ. In the pursuit of knowing Christ, as the songwriter expressed it, there are depths of love and there are heights of joy that we'll never fully realize in this life. We'll never be able to get it all in this life, brothers and sisters. Our containers are not big enough. And when we get to heaven, we won't be able to get it all. And that's why the Lord says throughout all of eternity, He's going to be giving us more. Isn't that something? But that's what the Scripture teaches. Because the more is Him, and He's infinite. There is no end to Him. You know, you buy a gadget. I like gadgets. You buy a gadget. After a while, you spend time tinkering with it. And after a while, it maxes out. You can't do anything more with it. But I will find out how much it'll do. You know, I love gadgets. And once I get it in my hands, if it says it'll do A, I want to see, can it do A and B? And I want to see if it can do B and C. And I'm going to max that thing out. I'm going to burden it, overload it. I'm going to do everything I can to get the maximum use out of it. But everything on earth has a limit. There's only so much it can do before it blows up. Well. Or just says, I'm done, tired. And it just gives out. People are the same way. There's only so much they can take. There's only so much. But Jesus is unlimited. And so He invites us to plug into Him, to seek Him. to feed off of him, to draw from him. So in the pursuit of knowing Christ, as the songwriter expressed, their depths of love and heights of joy we'll never fully realize in this life. As believers, what we've got, what we've been blessed with, what we're privileged to enjoy, is a progressive journey of wonder. Walls become doorways. Ceilings become winding staircases. And floors open up to cellars and passageways below. Discovering him, discovering the more of him, is mystery and its delight. And it begins here, but it's going to continue throughout all of eternity. As the scripture says, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. In other words, throughout all of eternity, God's grace towards us is going to be reflected in his kindness towards us throughout all of eternity. You know how you feel when someone does a kind thing for you? You know how it warms your heart? Well, imagine an eternity of experiencing the kindness of the Lord revealed in increments throughout all of eternity. You know, one of the directives of the scriptures that it gives to shepherds of the flock is to be an example to them. And this is sort of a preface to the points that I'm going to give you. And my goal is to demonstrate by example the possibilities and the range of our fellowship with the living God and how it affects every area of our lives. My goal is to try to illustrate how deep is the love of God in Christ and how personally invested he is in each one of us. In other words, when I'm speaking about the Lord, I'm not doing it to showcase my relationship with him. That is not why I talk about him as I do. I stand and I speak about Jesus the way I speak about him to showcase the possibilities for our relationship with him, for each one of us. I stand before you to demonstrate to whatever degree God gives me grace to be able to do so, that there is always more, no matter where you are. And what a wonderful place more is. More is a wonderful place. So the bottom line is, as we come to the end of another year, what I hope to do is encourage all of us to simply fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, because life just doesn't get any better than him. So now let me give you 5 tools that can help us, because you hear me say more of Jesus. Okay, what does that look like? I've got 5 tools, and think of these as tools. Think of wherever you are in your walk with the Lord as a place that has embedded in the walls or embedded in the floor this gold vein, like people that are out excavating for gold in a gold mine. Imagine that there's a gold vein in whatever place you're in, and it's either on the floor, on the ground, or it's on the wall. I want to give you 5 tools that can help you to excavate that gold and to experience the riches of Christ, the more of who he is. Now, why did I pick 5? I could have picked 15. I could have picked 50. I just picked 5. But if you use these 5, I can guarantee you, wherever you are, and this goes for me too, wherever we are, if we use these tools, not just think about them, hear me say that again, not just think about them, if we use these tools, then we will begin to see just how much more there is. And my hope is, as the Lord continues to satisfy our desire, as we open wide our mouths, and this is what I pray for you, and I pray this for me, that as the Lord tells us and invites us to taste and see that the Lord is good. As we taste more and more of who he is, that it causes our appetite for more to grow and our hunger for more to increase. So, five tools to help us excavate the more that is available to us in Christ. The first one is this: never underestimate the power of thankfulness. Never underestimate the power of thankfulness. I am thankful for the gift of thanksgiving that God has given us. Giving thanks is a gift, and I'm thankful for the power that it has to transform our perspective. It's amazing what happens when we're giving thanks, how it can transform our perspective, how it can console our hearts, how it can revive our spirits. Imagine a room for a moment, just in your mind, imagine a room that's devoted to thankfulness. Just imagine being in a room, and the only reason you're in that room is devoted and dedicated and consecrated to one thing: thankfulness. That's all that happens when you go in that room. There's a whole bunch of other rooms, but this room is what I call the thankfulness lounge. And you go in there and you say, Lord, I'm here to meet you in this lounge of thankfulness, and I'm here to fellowship with you here. No rush. I'm not trying to cram as much as I can into it. I got 500 things here. I'm going to cram them all into giving thanks. No, this is a lounge of thanksgiving, not a gymnasium of thanksgiving, not a track of thanksgiving. It's a lounge. And whatever time you have, it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, whatever it is you want to take, you lounge in the lounge of thankfulness, and you trust the Lord to bless you with a spirit and an attitude of thanksgiving. And you simply give thanks. And you don't rush. You let your heart linger and savor wherever it stops. So you may be sitting in that lounge of thankfulness, and a person comes to mind, and your heart is touched, and you find that there's some energy there. Don't feel like, okay, I've said enough about that. Let me move on to the next person. Linger. Stay there with the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for this person, until it dries up. And move on. And if all you have in that allotted time is one person, don't feel like, well, I wasted my time. I didn't get to everybody. Let your heart savor where it lingers. Giving thanks gives us keener spiritual sight. Giving thanks gives us keener spiritual sight. Giving thanks helps us to see the inventory of blessings that have been stockpiled in our lives. And it protects our hearts against the evil one's primary lie, which is God doesn't love you, and therefore God cannot be trusted. Giving thanks helps to insulate our heart from that deception. And it is a subtle deception. It doesn't just spring on us. We find ourselves drifting into that thought more than being dragged into it. And giving thanks insulates our heart from the devil's primary lie, which is God does not love you and therefore cannot be trusted. It's difficult for him to undermine our confidence in God's love for us when our minds are filled with evidence to the contrary. And thanksgiving fills our minds with evidence of the contrary and thus insulates our hearts from the devil's lie that God does not love you, God's not looking out for you, God's not attentive to you, whatever it is, whatever version of that he may use, and therefore cannot be trusted. Under this whole idea of never underestimating the power of thankfulness, receive every moment as a gift. Receive every moment as a gift. Thank you, Lord, for, what is it? 12 hours and 7 minutes of Expo, November 26th. Thank you for every moment that I have lived on this day. And thank you for all the other allotted moments that you have for me for this day. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking with thankfulness. The second tool, take God's love personally. Take God's love personally. Don't be content to just read about it in the scripture and say God is love. Take it personally. I told the Lord the other day, Lord, thank you that my name is not just written in the book of life, like it just kind of showed up in there. No, my name is not just written in the book of life, and your name is not just written in the book of life. God wrote it. He wrote it. He chose to put your name, in the book of life. My name is in the book of life because God wrote it there. Lord, thank you for writing my name, Dan S. Beatty, in the book of life. Amen. The worst that can happen to me on any given day, because my name is written in the book of life, the worst that can happen is the best is yet to come. Because you wrote my name in the book of life. Thank you for loving me personally. Thank you for opening up the throne room of grace to me personally. I take your love personally, Lord, and I thank you for helping me to do so. You may not always respond the way I want you to. You may not always respond in the time frame that I'm requesting. But your heart is always full of love and affection for me. I may not always understand what you're doing or why things are happening as they are, but you are always building my faith with impeccable craftsmanship. And I thank you for that. Under this whole idea of taking God's love personally, you might have seen Friday's Just a Moment. If you didn't, this is what it said. Remember that you've got star power. Yes, in Christ, you are truly a big celebrity. Yes, you are. You're a big celebrity. A celebrity in the basic sense of the word is one who is celebrated. And God celebrates each one of his children. But you don't have to take my word for it. It's a truth that's anchored in the scriptures. He will exalt over you with joy. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. And if you can imagine that kind of celebration, if you can imagine it, you're still way, way off. Because the truth is, his celebration of you is even beyond your imagination, according to Ephesians 3:19. So you have no idea how big a star you are to him. You just don't have any idea how big of a star you are to him. So does this make us self-centered Christians? Does this make us arrogant, full of ourselves? On the contrary, a believer who understands and enjoys his or her God-given celebrity shows up in life not to be applauded or not to be fawned all over, but to be a blessing to others, because we're full and we want to express that fullness to others. When Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, we know the story there in John where Jesus took off his outer garment after dinner and he started to wash the disciples' feet. When Jesus started to wash the disciples' feet, it wasn't just to teach them how to love one another. That was part of it. He said, I'm giving you an example that what I'm doing for you, I want you to do for one another. That was part of it. But that wasn't all of it. It was also an authentic display of his attitude and his heart towards them. It was a real demonstration of his celebration of each of their significance and of his love for each one of them. It was a celebration that he wanted them to fully receive and then freely impart to other people. In other words, when Jesus got up and washed their feet, he wasn't just, you know, putting on. It wasn't a manipulative tool. It was a genuine reflection of how he was celebrating each one of them. And he says, as my heart is pouring out to you, as my heart is celebrating you, as I see myself as a servant of yours, that you're the star, even though I'm the Lord. You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. But as you see my attitude towards you of love and sacrifice and service, and I see you guys as the star, so much so that Peter said, Lord, oh no, don't wash my feet, Lord, because, you know, you're really the star. And Jesus is saying, that's not how it is in the kingdom of God. That may be how it is on earth, but that's not how it is in the kingdom of God. Because when you see your star power in the kingdom of God, you're free to enjoy and celebrate the stardom of others. Your insecurities begin to melt away. Your self-protection and the kinds of things that prevent us from openly celebrating others begin to fade. But it comes as we see our own star power. It comes as we recognize how the Lord just rejoices over us with shouts of joy. And this is why, brothers and sisters, this is why the evil one doesn't want you to get this. This is why the evil one wants this to go in one ear and out the other. This is why the evil one wants our hearts to be dull when we hear how excited and how passionate and how much God sees us as stars. Because when that begins to seep into your soul, when that begins to seep into your soul, there is no telling where you will go. There is no telling what you will do. There is no telling what you will become. And I will stand before the living God and I'll look and I'll raise my hands and I'll say, Lord, I don't know what is to become of me. Because it's getting through. It's seeping in. I'm still dull. I'm still not getting it completely, but it's starting to seep through. And what's seeping through is changing me. What's coming in is changing the way I view my life. What's seeping in is changing the way I view other people. I'm finding my heart is getting fuller, if you can call it this, fuller and fuller of love for your people. And hunger for you. Just think of it. The Lord sees you as a, take his love personally. He sees you as a star. Think of all the other signs in the scripture that indicate that the Lord celebrates us. He calls us to enjoy the richest affair. He calls us to enjoy the finest of wheat. He calls us to enjoy the river of delights. It says he welcomes us in Psalm 21 with rich blessings. These are all things that indicate there's a big celebration going on in God's heart towards us. Acknowledge it. Receive it. Possess it. Personalize it. Dina was sharing Psalm 84. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now, many of us at that point, we love that first part. Right? No good thing will he withhold. But when we get to that walk uprightly, oh, Lord, there's that condition. Oh, no. Right? Well, here's the news flash. You are the uprightly. That is who you are. So when you see that, it has nothing to do with how you're performing. It has to do with the status that has been conferred upon you by Jesus Christ. So every time you see the righteous and the upright, don't say, well, let's see, was I upright today? Well, I think I was upright Tuesday, but today is a different story. No, you are the upright because of what Jesus Christ did for you. That promise belongs to you. No good thing will he withhold from you, from those who are in Christ and have accepted his status for you. Because it says in him, we have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And Christ has become our wisdom from God and our sanctification from God and our holiness and our righteousness. Jesus. So take his love personally. When you see those expressions of love in the scripture, say, I'll take that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Not because I earned it. No. Because you earned it. You earned it. Me. You earned it. Keep asking. When I read this portion here, this whole thing about you're a star, Tanera, bless her heart, sent me a little email. She said, amen. She said, we're stars. And she said, this thought came to me after reading this. We're celebrities in Christ because we walk on the red carpet of his blood. I said, I like that. That's the red carpet. Amen. You see, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That's my plea. And that thou bidst me come to thee. So, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Number three, remember, he is greater than great. This is another one of those tools. Remember that he is greater than great. In John 5, it says, Jesus said to them, John 5:17, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. He's greater than great. He's working. That's why, for those of you who keep journals or those of you who keep prayer journals or those of you who try to capture your relationship with the Lord in words or whether we're trying to say them or pray them, whatever, that's why our words, no matter how voluminous, no matter how creative, no matter how eloquent, can't keep up with Jesus. Because he's always on the move. He's always on the go. He's always ahead of our experiences. He's always ahead of our thoughts. He's always ahead of our imagination. And by the time we record our sketches on paper, he's moved on to something else. He's the living God. While we're sleeping, he neither sleeps nor slumbers. He doesn't have to take a break. He's continuing his work. And so day by day, he reveals himself to be the living God who is greater than tongue or pen could ever tell. He's greater than my best attempts to describe the one who is indescribable. Everything I'm saying up here is already obsolete by the time it comes out of my mouth. I mean, it's true about his nature. It's true about his character. It's true about how he operates. But he's always doing something else. He's always revealing more. Remember, he is greater than great. Wherever you are, whatever your thoughts may be where you are, what God can do, he can do more than that. Wherever you are, whatever you think God can do in you, he can do more than that. More than that. Lord, please help me kind of get over this thing. Is that all? Is that all? Is that all? His greatness, the scripture says, is unsearchable. It's unfathomable. So when we sing, "O Lord, how great thou art," we should say, "How great thou art, and greater still," you know, or something like that. Because he's beyond great. Number four, focus, very important. Focus on turning it over instead of getting over it. Focus on turning it over instead of getting over it. Keisha and I, Sister LaKeisha Claxton Derso and I were talking last week, and we were talking about this process of growth and talking about this process of learning to love, the process of learning how to forgive, the process of just becoming more like Christ. And I said to her, I said, you know, as I travel the highway of life, I would like to think that I leave certain issues behind as I grow and as I heal. I'd like to think that I'm getting better. I'd like to think that somehow or another, one of these days, whatever this thing is that has been holding me back will be no more. I will have overcome it. It could be a habit. It could be an attitude. It could be whatever. But I would like to think that as I go on, that I leave certain issues behind, issues that stir up such things as bitterness, or issues that stir up things like shame, or issues that stir up things like anger or remorse. And then I'm surprised, and sometimes I'm disheartened, when I see, as I'm traveling the highway of life, and I think I've gotten past this, and there's another billboard advertising that thing right in front of me. I'm saying, what is that? I thought I had left that thing miles behind me. But here it is on another billboard, exit 2 miles ahead. Won't I ever get past it completely? Won't I ever get to a place where it's truly gone forever? And then I realized something important. The goal is not for me to get past it. That was never the goal. The goal is to realize who's in the car with me as I'm traveling. And to realize that I can turn it over to him. That the one who is in the car with me is there to lovingly help me process all of life. And it is in the process of processing life, even the ugly parts of life. It's in the process of processing life with him that where I'm looking at my checkered past, or I'm looking at my unfolding present or my uncertain future, and I'm processing it with him. Precious things are growing in my faith in him. And my faith is more precious than gold. So it's to remember that I'm in the car with the one who reminds me to cast all my cares on him because he's going to sustain me. So I don't have to feel ashamed that thing showed up again All I have to do is remember who's in the car with me. Who's there to help me to process that. And in the process, he becomes more precious to me, which is what I want anyway. That's really what I want. If he gave me the choice between him becoming more precious to me and me being perfect, give me the precious. Give me the precious. The preciousness of him. So remember that your goal is to not get over it, but to turn it over. Keep seeking, keep knocking with the knowledge that he isn't just out there somewhere. He's also in here. And you're surrounded inside and out by him. We were talking about this in Sunday school, where forgiveness. We're talking about forgiveness and how that's a process. And how there's no shame in having to go through this process. And finally, thank God that you got caught. Thank God that you got caught. You can turn to your bulletin, and the next to the last page, I guess right next to your notes, was this week's view. And I'm going to end with this, and we're going to have the ushers come forward and distribute communion. Today I caught a leaf. This was last Wednesday. Today I caught a leaf as it swirled to the ground. And I carried it with me for the rest of my morning walk. Embraced in the warmth of my hand, it traveled with me to places it would never have gone otherwise, or places it would never have otherwise visited. And I eventually brought it home with me, concluding for it a fantastic journey that no observer of the normal life of a leaf would have predicted. It's a leaf that fell but never touch the ground. My life is like that leaf. I was slowly swirling downward, falling towards a Christless eternity, when suddenly I was caught by the hand of a loving Savior, Jesus Christ, who ever since that day has held me in the warmth of his hand, taken me places I could not have imagined, beautiful and exotic places. There have also been torrential rains and mighty gusts of wind, but he has never let me go. Eventually, he'll also take me home with him, completing for me an incredible journey that is indescribably different than what would have been the normal course of my life. And this Thanksgiving, my heart gratefully echoes the words of a much beloved hymn, "How marvelous that grace that caught my falling soul. I too am a leaf that never touched the ground. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." I was so happy this past week when I got a notice from the credit card company that I had a zero balance. I did a leprechaun jig and clicked my heels as best I could with this body. Because it feels good to see zero balance, zero owed. That's what your account before the living God says. Zero balance owed. Because somebody picked up the tab. You didn't pay it off in installments like the credit card. Someone paid it off in one fell swoop. Gone. Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow. And part of the way that we say thank you is just to remember him with communion. He didn't say, pay me back. He just said, remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. And so when we take communion, we're going to have the ushers come forward. They're going to pass the cup out. Please hold on to it until everyone has the cup in hand. And then we'll have someone come up and say, one of the elders will say a prayer, thanking the Lord for the cup. And then we'll do the same with the bread. But ask, seek, and knock. Don't be frustrated where you are, but don't settle for where you are thinking this is it. Because there's always more of Christ. Always seek more in Christ because there's always more of Christ. I'm done.
Thank you.